This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting with a Pearl Harbor survivor as we mark yet another anniversary of that day which has lived in infamy. 94-year-old Russell Winsett of Bonita Springs, Florida, a native of Hamilton, Alabama. He spent 20 years in the Navy and another 15 years wearing the uniform of the U.S. Postal Service. And every December 7th, he puts on his Pearl Harbor survivor's hat and honors the more than 2,500 Americans who died that day. The war started with you climbing up to your machine gun nest on the foremast of the battleship Pennsylvania, firing at Japanese planes, but I want to talk to you about how the war ended.
Almost 4 years after that, here you're fighting this enemy. Now this enemy finally surrenders. What did that feel like to know this quest, this mission that you and 16 million other Americans have been on was finally successful?
Well, it really felt good to know that we had won. That was the main thing. God, boy, if we'd have lost that war, God knows we wouldn't be here today, probably.
Do you remember some celebration with your fellow sailors?
Oh, yeah. We raised hell aboard ship, and then we all went ashore. Look out.
You don't look like a guy who could get yourself into any trouble.
Well, I never did, really. I got away with it.
Well, I don't want to have you incriminate yourself with anything. You mentioned that you stayed in for 20 years. What made you want to do that? What was so special about the Navy that you made a career out of it?
It wasn't so much as special. It was the fact that I didn't want to go back to the farm.
So it was better to get shot at by the Japanese than be on that farm, huh?
Right.
Boy, what'd they have you doing on the farm?
Everything. Anything is to do, I did it.
I know that you've talked about this a lot. Your son's a teacher. You've been to his classes over the years before he retired from that, talking to students. I know you've told your story a lot, and I'm sure you've given some thought to why it's important that people know about December 7th, why it's important that we remember the more than 400,000 Americans who died in World War II. What is so important about that? Why is that something that you talk about?
Hopefully, the United States will be prepared better than they was before. And that's the main thing. We always got to be prepared because you don't know who's going to hit us or when.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be prepared.
As part of that 20-year Navy career, you spent a few years in the 50s stationed at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, over 4 years.
Uh-huh.
But they went about business like if nothing ever happened. A lot of the residents in Honolulu was of Japanese descent, you know.
Yeah.
And you had to be on the lookout because you never know.
Have you been to the Arizona Memorial?
No. I left there. It was built after I left there, and I've never been back.
I'm sure you've had people ask you if you wanted to go and try to get you to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why not?
I just have no desire to go back.
Too hard to relive that?
Right. The older you get, the more tender-hearted you get, I guess.
What about the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.? Have you been there?
I went there about 4 years ago, I guess, yeah.
What'd you get out of that experience?
Brought back a lot of memories. It's very educational, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. What'd you learn on that trip?
Well, mostly just be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. And I don't know if the United States is being prepared or not.
I hope we don't have to find out.
Well, I hope not.
What was it about America during that time that you think made it so special or enabled America to win that war?
Well, I think we had one of the strongest nations in the world. We had to be strong or we wouldn't have been here.
Yeah.
And we have smart people running this country. Or did have, I don't know about now.
Well, I want to say before I forget, thank you for serving our country. 20 years is a long time to do anything, but especially to be in the Navy. I know you spent a long time in the Postal Service after that. I don't know which uniform you liked better, but when you think back on your military career, what are you most proud of?
Surviving.
Wasn't always easy, huh?
That's right.
Sometimes I talk to veterans about being on this program, and I tell them the name of the program, Hometown Heroes, and they bristle, and they say, well, I'm not a hero. so many of you guys don't want to be called that. We think of you that way because we can't imagine going through what you went through. But when you think about World War II and all the Americans who served, who are the heroes in your mind?
Well, it's hard to say. A lot of them I don't have names for. But to me, a hero is a guy that could get off the ship and go ashore and fight on the land, man. That hand-to-hand combat, I couldn't cut that, I don't think.
You saw a lot of those guys coming back to your ship at Iwo Jima, huh?
Oh, yeah.
When you were there on December 7th, you experienced that from your vantage point on the Pennsylvania, from your little machine gun spot. In all the years since, I'm sure you've read a lot, maybe seen some programs about it. What are some of the things that have been added to your understanding that really still kind of resonate with you about that day and everything that happened?
Of course, like I say, at 94 years of age, the old memory's not what it used to be.
Sure.
But I never, looking around after the bombing was over and the strafing, I was wondering why the Japanese didn't have troops to invade that island after they had bombed it. And that's where they made one big mistake.
You know, that brings up a good point, because when we talk about this, we talk about what happened. So often we don't talk about what could have happened,
right,
or what you guys maybe feared would happen at the time. Because I imagine in those weeks after the attack, you guys didn't know that they weren't coming, right?
That's right.
Did you guys talk about that? Did you expect something else to happen?
Oh, yeah. Everybody had in mind that they would come in, even not that day, but maybe weeks later. We never knew.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents hear about what had happened there at Pearl Harbor?
My father, he turned gray overnight because they got a message that I had been killed in action. Now, who sent that message, I don't know. But as quick as I could, cleared like a day later or so, I called home. That's when the old man really flipped out, you know.
So did you know they had gotten this message when you called?
No, I didn't know.
So you called home. What happened? Tell me about that conversation.
Well, my mother answered the phone, and I think she almost had a heart attack when she found out it was me. And then the old man got on, and he flipped out. He said they got a message that I'd been killed in action. I said, well, I don't know who sent the message or why, because I'm very much alive, a little shaken up, but other than that, I'm all right. But they said my father turned gray hair overnight.
Wow, how about that? I've heard of that happening, but mostly to people in combat. I can see how that news would do that to them. And I guess that's one of those 10 lives you were talking about?
Yeah.
And you had two brothers and two sisters. Did your brothers end up serving in the war as well?
My oldest brother did, yeah. He got as far as Hawaii himself. He's there for a few days, and I don't know what happened. He got a medical discharge. He really didn't see any action. He was only in the Army for a few months. And my younger brother, he wasn't old enough.
We were talking here a few minutes ago before we started recording the program that you just received a package from somewhere in the Midwest of pictures of your ship, the Pennsylvania, that they wanted you to autograph.
Yeah.
And I know you get, you know, requests every time December 7th rolls around. They want you there with your Pearl Harbor Survivors hat on.
Yeah.
Because there's not too many of you guys left.
I really have no way of knowing because the national headquarters closed down.
They disbanded because there's not enough guys left.
That's right.
And I don't get the sense that you're ever looking for attention about this.
No.
You're not going around saying, hey, look at me, I was at Pearl Harbor. And probably sometimes it's not easy to get out there and listen to them read the names.
That's right.
Or go speak. Why do you keep doing it? Do you feel a responsibility to tell your story?
I do. I really do. I feel that my friends and neighbors and people I associate with like to know. And that's the only way you're going to find out, because I sure as hell don't volunteer for nothing.
But you do have the courage to say yes when you're asked to tell your story, especially if the one asking is your son. Your middle son, Ron, is here with us, and I'm going to bring him in for a moment. So you're a teacher, and you've seen firsthand what your father's story can mean to people who weren't even born when all this went down.
Absolutely. I taught school for 32 years in Willingboro, New Jersey. Dad was always there for us. He provided a good home, good upbringing. He would frequently come into my classroom on December 7th. I would invite him in to speak to my kids regarding that day, and he would answer a lot of questions. And I think it was a great learning experience for the children. I do have cousins in Alabama that are also teachers. They have invited him into their classrooms, and he has given a firsthand account of the experiences of the day. We're very proud of his accomplishments and what he went through, and we do have a collection of memorabilia that we have on hand, and that's going to be family heirlooms to hand down to the kids and great-grandkids.
You talked about him coming in those classrooms. What did you see in those students when they listened to what he had to say and what he experienced on that day?
They were very attentive. And the types of questions, now I taught fourth grade at the time, uh-huh. and the types of questions were, you know, as you might expect from fourth grade kids, they were, you know, did you kill anybody, that type of thing. And the way he handled the questions was quite well done.
And what's it like for you as his son to know how easily he could have been one of those who died that day at Pearl Harbor?
Well, we wouldn't be having this interview, first of all.
Yeah.
When I think back about what he went through and the things that could have happened, it's a sort of a scary situation to know that you may not even be here. But, you know, he did get through it. And like I said, we're all proud. And he raised a great family. And all the kids and grandkids are all productive.
Anything else you want to say about your dad?
He's a great guy, and I hope he hangs around for at least till he's 100.
Uh-huh. You guys ever arm wrestle?
No, I'm afraid he'll beat me.
Well, then I'm not going to try either, but I am going to come back to him now, because Ron and his brothers and all their kids and grandkids wouldn't be here if the Navy in World War II hadn't allowed Mr. Winsett to meet his wife, Anna. So let's get that story. How did you meet the woman who would become your wife?
At the receiving station in Philadelphia in 1942, I guess. We got out and roamed around the city and outskirts and all. So I went to this bar, and I saw this beautiful lady bartending. So naturally, I struck up a conversation and got a chance to meet her again and again and again, and that was it.
So you had to kind of work at this. You asked her out, she said no?
I think she said she was working.
Uh-huh. She kept giving you excuses, huh?
Yeah.
So you went for her sister?
I went for her sister.
And that got her attention?
I guess.
Did you get married during the war or not till after you came back?
I got married in 1942 during the war.
So you got married and then you shipped back out?
Right. A couple of days after I was married, I shipped out again, man.
That couldn't have been easy.
No, it wasn't.
And it probably made for a pretty good reunion when you got back.
Sure did.
What do you remember about that, about coming back to America? Because here you were there the day America got pulled into this war, and you were there when America won this war. So to come back to the States and step foot on American soil again and see your bride again, what did that feel like?
Well, it's nice because I saw a big old boy when I got back.
Did you know you were a father? Had you gotten a letter or anything?
Yeah, I knew she was pregnant.
Yeah, but you didn't know it was a boy or a girl or a name or anything like that?
No.
So tell me about that moment. What do you remember?
Well, he was 16 months old before I got to see him, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was over a year. It was quite a thrill. And we made up for lost time because he came along, then his brother.
What keeps you going? You're 94 years old, but obviously you still got your wits about you.
I drink good scotch.
Uh-huh. That's the secret, huh? No one's ever told me that before.
Well, and clearly the underlying statement there is that you need to maintain your sense of humor, and Russell Winsett clearly has done that. Today he's helped us put a name and a face on December 7th, 1941, and we thank him for that. Again, there are some photos of Mr. Winsett then and now on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page as well as hometownheroesradio.com. That's the program for today. I hope that you can join us again next time. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll hold on to what Mr. Winsett and any other Pearl Harbor survivor will tell you. Remember Pearl Harbor, keep America alert. And never forget that freedom is not free.